They say they made Aliyah. They made Aliyah. Went to Eretz Yisrael after this journey. Took his wife. Took his family. But on the way, financial troubles came about, and they started struggling, dealing with Parnasa. Vayihira av ba'aretz, vayered Avram Mitzrayim alagur sham, ki chaved arav ba'aretz. It got difficult. Making a Parnasa was not what he dreamed, what he thought, the jobs that he thought he would have, you know, like everyone tries to set up. They'll learn half a day, they'll work in the American hours in Beit Shemesh, you know. But it didn't work out. It's not always Matzliach. Vayirav Baretz, and he had to turn around. Vayirad Avram Mitzrayim Alagur Sham, and he had to go back. He had to go back to Galus. He had to go back to Mitzrayim. Ki Chaved HaRa'av Baretz, because Parnasa wasn't simple. Vayihi Kasher Hikriv Lavo Mitzrayim. As they were descending, as they were moving out back to America, back to Mitzrayim, back to their pre-Aliyah status, Vayomer el Sarai Ishto. He turns to his wife Sarai and says the following: Hine no yadati ki isha yifas mare'ot. I've just realized that you are a gorgeous woman. So Chazal asked the obvious question, what do you mean? He hasn't realized yet, he married her. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us in the second perek, first daf in the second perek, you're not allowed to marry a woman before you see her. How could it be? Chazal have their answer, what Avram Avinu is actually referring to over here. Rashi has his interpretation. But then Avram Avinu says, and this is going to present a challenge for us, V'hayua kiru osach ha-mitzrim. And when the mitzrim see you, v'amru ishto zos, and they are going to recognize that we are a couple, that I am your husband, v'hargu osi v'osach v'chayu, I have no future. I'm kaput. I'm done. They're going to kill me. They're going to murder me. And they're going to take you, because you're so beautiful. So therefore, Avraham Avinu sets up a whole plan, a whole idea, the master plan. This is what's going to happen. Imri na achosi ot. Please tell them that you are my sister. Leman yitavli bavureich v'chaysa nafshi biglalech. So that it will be a benefit for me, that I will live because of you. Now, when one sees this parsha, the questions are endless. The questions are endless from a halachic perspective, and the questions are endless from a hashkafic perspective. The questions are endless from a halachic perspective. Rabbosai, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in his Sefer Kovetz Shiurim, and many of the Gedolei Achronim and the Rishonim are very bothered with the advice of Avram Avinu. So he saw a challenge. So he saw a difficulty. But now you're going to opt to what? To send her in to the chambers of the king. To defile herself. To be involved in illicit relations with King Paro in order so that I should benefit. How selfish are you? What are you doing? And halachically, Avram Avinu, the Av Hamun Goyim, the Av of the Jewish religion, what example are you setting for the Jewish people? So you're going to be stuck in a difficult predicament. But the halacha is you give up your life. The halacha is you have to stand up for what you believe in. You are the source of belief. Mogi and Avram, you are our first father. And this is the way, this is the first episode we meet Avram Avinu with. And this is how he deals with this challenge. That's not something that's exemplary. That's not something that Parshas Lech Lecha, which introduces the Av Hamon Goyim, our first father, the father that's going to protect us, Mogen Avram. This is how he deals with a challenge. Rabbi say Ad Kedei Kach. The Ramban writes in this week's parsha on this pasuk. The Ramban writes Avram Avinu was punished for his lack of amuna, lack of bitachon, for his whole plan that he set up over here. And he says we went to Mitzrayim and we had to go through an enduring punishment in order to rectify this. That was the punishment. But how do we buy this? How do we, even just from a halachic perspective, before we get to hashkafic perspective, how does one understand this? So Rabbi say, the Ramban understood this as a mistake. But the Maharal points out that it's tough to take the route that it's a mistake, because it's not just he slipped up once and then we got the punishment of going to Mitzrayim. And the proof to that, says the Maharal, is this story doesn't only happen once. It happens again with Avimelech. And it happens again with who else? With Yitzchak Avinu. This is a pattern that the Avos are not just slipping up, that the Avos are returning to and repeating again and again. Sounds like there's something deeper that's going on over here that we need to delve into, that it's not just a simple mistake and a punishment. Because if it was a mistake and a punishment, says the Maharal, then we would have learned from our mistakes, the Avos. Okay, they can make mistakes, they're human. But then they wouldn't repeat it. They wouldn't do it again. The Avos were telling us something deep. The Avos were telling us something essential. Rabbi Isai, but let's analyze for a second, just because we are in the sugya, and it's very relevant to our limud, and it's fascinating as well. But just whatever the message is, and we'll get to that in a second for the shmooze, but just from a halachic perspective, how did Avram Avinu do this? So there's two mefarshim. The Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes the Rabbeinu Chanano, and this idea is developed in our parsha in the Sefer Aksava Kabbalah, one of my favorite svarim on Chumash. Fascinating pshatim. The Aksava Kabbalah says it's not so difficult. And Rabosai, you actually know the answer to this question. It was said in the first shir this year of this month. Before Matan Torah. But what does that mean, before Matan Torah? How do you divorce your wife when it comes to Bnei Noach, says the Rama? You just walk away. Says the Ksava Kabbalah, you know what the proof to that idea that Gerushin was not with a document, but just when you move out and you're no longer existing together, that's Gerushin? Says the Ksava Kabbalah, that's exactly what happened with Avram Avinu and Sarah. They weren't transgressing this Avera anymore of sleeping with a married woman. She wasn't married anymore because she was no longer living with Avram Avinu. She moved into the new house. So the problem with that approach is that it only works according to some Rishonim. There's a major debate brought in the Ramban in Parshas Emor whether or not the Rishonim viewed the Avos as Jews, or the Rishonim viewed the Avos as Bnei Noach. So that whole explanation only works within the realm of them being Bnei Noach. To make matters worse, Rabbi Osai, and if this is a little bit too much to expect you to remember, but can anyone remember another Shita that disagreed with the Rambam? The Rabbeinu David, excellent Ezra. The Rabbeinu David in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches tells us, not like the Rambam, you can't just move out of your house when it comes to Bnei Noach. Yeah, it's true, divorce is different when it comes to Bnei Noach than when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, but it's not that you don't need a document. It's not that you just move out of the house like the Rambam suggests in Hilchos Malachim, but rather what, Ezra? That Goyim can never get divorced. If you understand like the Rabbeinu David, that there is no Gerushin by Bnei Noach. So we're back to what?
Square one.
So what's the pshat over here? What's going on? An additional problem that the Chasam Sofer raises in analyzing this issue and this parsha of whether it was a mistake, whether it was a good thing. So the Chasam Sofer defends Avraham Avinu's practice, and he presents the following issue. How could you say, like the Ksava Kabbalah, like the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that they actually got divorced, you moved out, and they were no longer married? I'll bring you a proof that they were still married. What happens when Sarah moves into the house with Paro? The Malach comes in and starts giving Nigoim, Vayinaga, as base Paro. By the way, argues the Chasam Sofer elsewhere that those Nigoim were a simon and a future ability for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enabled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and were merames to a future Nigoim coming generations down the line. This was the source for Asar Makos. These Nigoim that existed in Beis Paro, the Chasam Sofer develops a whole analysis that the reason, as opposed to the Ramban, the reason Avraham Avinu had to go down and go through this process was actually to pave a pathway for us to be successful, Maisa Avos Simen Labanim, in the most literal sense. What Avraham Avinu went through now in Mitzrayim was going to pave the way for the future Golus of Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And the Negoim Gedolim that Paro's house got when he was sleeping with Sarah, that was what? A future remez and a path to now create for the future Asara Makos. But Rabosai, why were there Negoim in the house? Because the Malach was saying, she's Be'ulas Baal. She's an Eishes Ish. She's married, she's Mrs. Avraham Avinu. How could you sleep with her? As the story goes on, that Paro runs out of the house, and he says what? Vayikra Paro l'Avram. Vayomer mazel sasisa li. Lama lo igadet alaki ishtachi. How did he know it was your rap? Because the Malach told him. Negoim gedolim, you're getting Asara Makos now, because she's married. Lama amarta achosi. Vayikacho sali lisha. Vato yinei ishtachach kach v'leich. Take your wife and get out of here. So the Chasam Sofer says there was a get. But it was a get all tonight. If Paro's going to take you into the house, so then I divorce you. But if what? If Paro's not going to, if Paro's going to take you into the house, so then what? So then I'm going to stay married to you. So says the Chasam Sofer, now the story makes a little more sense. There was an ability to argue that she was still an Eishes Ish, because unless you take her, the get's not chal, it's al tanai. So therefore, the Malach came in and said, she's an Eishes Ish, because the get's not chal. The tanai's not chal, says the Chasam Sofer. So that's the way you understand the aftermath. But Rabbi say, that's all from a halachic perspective. That's all just how to argue, how could he put her in this matzah of mamish sleeping with a guy, an Eishes Ish, a married woman. So we potentially have an answer for the halachic answer, but what doesn't sit well, what still is bothersome and turning in our stomachs right now, is that what was Avraham Avinu's plan over here? Why did Avraham Avinu set this up? Why did he do this? And what type of message specifically did he say that don't just pretend that you're a woman? Don't just pretend that you're not, that you're, why can't you be my friend? Why can't we be, you know, just good buddies? Avraham Avinu said to Sarah something very specific. Avraham Avinu said to Sarah, tell them you're my sister. Don't tell them you're my wife. Why specifically that message? If you want to hide the marriage, there's many ways that you can hide the marriage. Why don't you just walk in separately? Why don't you just, you know, you go with Lot and I'll go this way? That's usually the way we would, you know, we're trying to pretend, you know, I remember, you know, people go into customs in Eretz Yisrael and there's relatives from Israelis, you know, and they don't, the father doesn't want the kid to know, oh, I'm related to you, because then the memshalah is going to, so I'm going to walk on this line, you're going to walk on that line. We're not going to talk to each other in these 20 minutes. Halavai, it should be 20 minutes. When we're waiting for customs to get into Eretz Yisrael, you know? So that's what Avraham Avinu should have to Sarah. I don't know you now. You don't know me now. We'll meet back in Eretz Yisrael when we get the food that we need. What do you have to devise this whole plan and say, by the way, you should now say that you're my sister. What, Sarah can't keep a secret? So she can't, she's not going to be able to keep a secret over here also. Why specifically that message, Rabosai? Rabosai, I'd like to share an idea from the Radzina Rebbe, but I'd like to preface the idea with a hazkara to my wife's grandfather and my wife's grandparents. And her grandfather was Nifter on Sunday, that's why we didn't have Shir. And it was Maspid this week. Aryeh Elimelech ben Shlomo Alevi. He's an incredible person. Incredible individual, but not only for the way he lived his life and what he represented, but for what he survived. And the message of how he relayed to all of us future generations about how you could really rebuild. And you could really collect yourself after going through such tragedy, such destruction, losing his whole family in World War II, surviving the Gehenna of Auschwitz, and building a bayis filled with Avodas Hashem and Kirvel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the fundamental principles of what a Yiddish home should be built on. But there was something unique about their marriage. It was an old-style European marriage. An old-style European marriage resembled a bond that was unbreakable. No matter what the challenges you face, no matter what happened in your life, there was something that glued us and weaved us together. And this idea of the Radzina Rebbe in this week's parsha reminded me of this dimension of their marriage. You see, Baruch Hashem, we're very lucky that we live in a time that there are a lot of professionals, there are a lot of therapists that enhance our marriages and our relationship. And I encourage all of you, Rabosai, to utilize those avenues and those and the access to the professionals, both pre and post marriage. There's something called premarital therapy, which is not something that necessarily is a function of you having an issue with your kala or with the person you're dating, but men and women are different, and people have to train themselves how to communicate with each other and how to deal with the struggles of marriage. And it's sometimes a good idea to even just get acquainted with these issues and with these modes of communication that it wasn't necessary for my whole life to be involved with, and now I can access these people that they can make me familiar with these ideas. And there's many, Baruch Hashem, opportunities and people that can train us and help us and assist with us to build up the love and the passion and the spontaneity of marriage and having something fresh in our relationships. That's very important. To keep things alive, to keep that excitement of Shana Rishona, of that first year, of that first dating period, to keep it alive even when things get normal and we get back into day-to-day life. Baruch Hashem, we have this access to all these professionals. But Rabboshai, I'd like to suggest that there's something along the way that's a little bit forgotten. There's that old European-style marriage that's forgotten. That marriage that was formed in a time where things weren't glowing, where things weren't peachy, where life was very difficult, and it was about rebuilding and cementing a foundation to a future family. And Rabosai, a lot of these European marriages were formed after the Shoah, after the Holocaust, where many of these people, like my wife's grandfather, didn't have brothers and sisters and family. And their source of family was actually their wife. So now when they got married, it wasn't the complications of who's going to who for Yontif, which in-law this, who's winning, which hotel program this, how do the in-law, you know, there's a whole shadchanis between the chassan and kala to just make sure the in-laws get along. All those complications weren't there, but rather, the marriage was actually replacing the blood relationship. When I married this woman, she was not only my wife, she was not only my isha, he was not only her ish, but Rabosai, what happened is that you became an ach v'achos. You became a brother and a sister. Rabosai, a brother and a sister are related to one another and connect to one another through blood. No matter what happens, no matter what challenges you face, Rabosai, I can fight with my brother, but I'll tell you, during that fight, I will give him the shirt off my back. I will do whatever it takes to save that person. However, if you divorce, no pun intended, that dimension, and the ish v'isha from the ach v'achosa, if you don't have any sense of a European relationship, and it's all about passion, it's all about spontaneity, it's all about attraction, it's all about how does she make me feel, what does she make me feel like now, what did he do for me here, what did he buy for me there, what did he say to me here, how expressive is he here and there. And when that's not there, Rabosai, when the passion, when the interaction is not as I expected, so then what happens? The relationship is based on what? Choice. I choose no longer to continue this relationship. And guess what that leads to? If I choose no longer to continue this relationship, or this relationship is no longer giving me what I need, so then what happens? The divorce rate rises. And a person chooses to give up on the marriage. And chas v'shalom, no one of you should take the wrong message, Rabosai. I am a big proponent of working on the passion, on the spontaneity, on the fact, on the emotions of a relationship. And a marriage without that dimension is garnished and will not succeed. No one should belittle those items. But it should come off a foundation of an ach v'achos, of a European-style relationship. Of no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, we are now connecting to one another, not only because we chose one another, not only because we were excited at the chuppah or we had a beautiful relationship when we were dating, but now we became blood. We became an ach v'achos. And Rabosai, that's exactly what Avram Avinu is telling Sarah. Avram Avinu is telling Sarah, we're about to hit some major challenges in our life. Parnassah is a struggle, and this is now going to steer us to a location that was not my plan. My plan was to take you to Eretz Yisrael, to live that Beit Shemesh life, to have that beautiful life and Aliyah, and we had this beautiful dream. But unfortunately, Avram Avinu says to Sarah, Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. It's not always going to work out as planned. None of these people were planning for a Holocaust. None of these people were planning for these catastrophes and for the challenges that life brought us. But Avram Avinu says, I can tell you how we can survive. I can tell you how we can make it last. How we can get through Mitzrayim and the difficulties of our life. It's if we create a connection and a bond that's above choice, that's now going to blend us and mold us together, that we will prevail and we will triumph and trump over any challenges, over any challenges that face us. And that's how we'll survive the Mitzrayim. We might not feel the Ish V'Isha when we're in Mitzrayim. It's not going to be glowing. It's not going to be the honeymoon. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very challenging. We're very alone. We lost our family. I'm no longer with Abba Terach. But you know what? I can connect. And just like when I'm in that cellar in the Holocaust, and I'm looking just to run to mommy for a hug, just to hold me during that time of tzara, even though she really can't protect me, and she really can't save me from it. But I need to run to her because she's my blood. So Sarala, you're going to be that person. You're going to be that sister that saves me. That, you know, all the stories, the older sister that saved the younger brother. You're going to be that sister that's going to keep me in the forest, eating the blueberries, deep down in the bunkers, saving me throughout the years of the tzara. And I'm going to find that person of blood in you, Sarala. And that's how we're going to get through the rav in Mitzrayim. That's how we're going to get through the challenges of life. So Sarah, I don't want to divorce you. I don't want to get rid of you. I want to stay married with you. And I want to stay connected with you. But Sarah, I want a certain foundation of our relationship to now be highlighted, to now come out. And we should be achbachos. See, Rabbi said, when I was thinking about my grandfather and this idea of a European marriage that's a little bit lost in today's society, again, side by side with an Ish V'Isha that it's, if not more important, extremely important. But that everlasting connection, that bond that we can get through it, and not easy come, easy go, and not there's always a future, there's always other problems, and giving up on any struggle and issue, because we don't have this ach v'achus. We can get through challenging times, and I can carry you, and you can carry me, because we are connected, like in a brother and a sister, like a blood relationship that would do anything for one another. Rabosai, the root of the word ach v'achos comes from la'achot. What does it mean to ima'achet? To weave, to sew together. We are attached to one another. Imri no achosi atzara, this is going to be difficult. But let's not just be an ish v'isha. Let's not only have a relationship that exists in Eretz Yisrael. Let's be me'uche. Let's let out and shine the achoyos shebo. The fact that we are now a family that's rebuilding on the entire family that I lost. I look at you for my blood relationship. I look at you for my sister, for my shoulder, for that shirt that I need when I'm suffering, for that parnasa that I don't have anymore. You will help me. You will build me up after my destruction and catastrophe in my life, after my Mitzrayim Vayehira of the Mitzrayim. Sometimes, as life develops and Baruch Hashem, we have access to all new opportunities and avenues in our marriages and in our relationships. Sometimes we need to look back and realize what's missing. We're very fortunate in the life and the time we live in. But sometimes struggle builds character. Sometimes issues develop relationships in ways that when you don't have those struggles, when you don't have those difficulties, those bonds will not be built in the same way. That's what Avraham Avinu was telling Sarah. Imri na achosiat. There are times in life that you need to be an ach v'achus. Rabosai, this idea that Avraham Avinu was telling Sarah was not just an idea and a shmooze for marriage. Avraham Avinu was telling Sarah that this, our relationship, mimics the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Am Yisrael. You see, we often refer to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a kala, as a man and a woman, as Ra'ayaso, as his wife. But the truth is, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim doesn't only refer to us as his wife, as his kala, but the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Rabosu, you all know the song. Pischili Rayasi Achosi, my sister. You see, Avraham Avinu is telling Sarah, look at the way relationships are in Yiddishkeit. Even with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are times when I'm inspired. There are times before Yom Kippur, before Ne'ilah, that I'm into it. There are times before the Bechina that there's a momentum and I'm ready to do it. But Rabosai, then there are times like midterms. There are times, crash times. There are times where all the family pressures and social pressures are there, where I'm not so into it. Where I'm not feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu next to me. Where I'm not feeling connected. And yet the Pasuk says, that's when the other dimension of our relationship. That's when you got to be brother and sister with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where you got to realize that this is your oxygen. That this is something that you have to do intuitively. That you have to do even not logically. Even without thinking about it. You have to do automatically, I'm sorry. You have to do it without thinking. You know, the Meshech Chochma says something beautiful when it comes to the famous Kasha. Tosos asked the Kasha, we said Nasa V'Nishma when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah. Yet the Gemara challenges that, and the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Torah on us. Kafa Aleim Har Kegigis. So which one was it? Was it a willing acceptance? Or was it coercion? Which avenue was it? And there are different approaches. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach, Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebal Peh, and different approaches from the other Gedolim. But one of my favorite approaches is an approach that's developed by the Meshech Chochma and also the Maharal. They came to the same idea. There weren't two approaches. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, accept my Torah, but understand that this Torah is not just for the high times. Is not just when you're feeling a Har Sinai type of experience and the lightning is there and the lights are glowing and you're at the unbelievable musical and you're getting into it and your goosebumps are there and you say, I want to be Jewish and I want to be close to God. No, this is oxygen. This is something that if you don't have, this is blood. This is a relationship that is going to be carried out even in the times of struggle. Even in the times of darkness. This is something that I need because it's the way I live. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented at Kabbalah Satorah. It wasn't talking about two types of Torahs. It was talking about two different times in your life. Har Sinai is not always going to be around, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Kabbalah Satorah will always be around. And therefore, even though you said Nasa V'Nishma, built into Kabbalah Satorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kafa Aleim Har Kegigis, there has to be something that mimics a coercion that shows to you that we have a relationship that's not only based on choice, because then, Chas V'Shalom, that relationship could get divorced. A person could choose to give it up. We have a relationship that's blood. We have a relationship of Imri Na Achosiat. Of even when it's difficult, even when I'm not so excited. You know, I don't need my brother or my sister to tell me that they love me. They don't need to tell me every day how they feel about me. I know it deep down in my heart. I know it because they're my blood. I know that I could depend on them, not because they told me that, or not because we set up a contract, or we signed a ksuba that I can depend on them. I know that I can depend on them above and beyond a contract, above and beyond a deal. It's because of our innate relationship. That's what Avraham Avinu was depicting. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents and depicts at Maimon Har Sinai. We have at the same time a Nasev and Nishma, but dueled with that and grounded and founded with an Imri Na Achol Siyat. Rabosai, let's mimic those like my wife's grandfather that also represented that dimension in their lives within their Avodas Hashem. You know, if anyone would have the choice to give up on Yiddishkeit and to chuck it after the Gehenim that they went through, it would be those people like Rabbi Aryeh Elimelech, like the survivors of Auschwitz, the people who lost all their family, the people who lost their whole entire life, and they would have moved on. But yet, what did they demonstrate? They demonstrated to us, no. Listen, Kindelach. Listen, future generations. Kabbalah's HaTorah and our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only Nasev and Nishma, is not only at Har Sinai with lights, cameras, and the movies, but our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kafaleim Har Kigigas, is even when it's difficult. But I will prevail, and I will rebuild, and I will be the foundation that's going to spread Torah and build up Yiddishkeit in the next generation. And we have to thank them, but we also have to mimic them. And now get through the struggles that we face. Not only with our spouses and families, but with our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are our Ish V'Isha, but you are also our Ach V'Achos. We are also brother and sisters. We are also blood. And no matter how we are feeling, no matter what destruction we're coming from, our bond is everlasting, and we know that we can depend on each other throughout the scariest of times. So Rabosai, that was Avraham Avinu's message. Avraham Avinu's message of knowing that there's an everlasting bond. There's an everlasting connection. There's a broad relationship. There's an Imri Na Achosiat. And that's the way we're going to survive this difficult Ra'av in Mitzrayim. There is a Kafa Aleim Har Kigigas. And sometimes we need to recognize that. And sometimes we need to focus on that and work without decisions. Sometimes we need to be robotic. Sometimes we need to ignore our emotions and just parade through them and work hard and build up our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Amir Tzah Hashem will feel and rebuild the passion and the love of an Ish V'Isha. Rabbi Yisrael.